That was beautiful. I loved it. She faked me out there. Oh my gosh. Okay, so today we're talking about belonging. And you'll hear me almost every time I'm here talk about who am I? That's the big question that we all ask ourselves in life, right? Who am I? And to get to that answer, we go through a process which leads to enlightenment, which leads to self-realization. We know who we are, and life is better for us. Things are easier. We suffer less. But part of that process of understanding who we are is we come across, where do I belong? What am I doing here? I'm not alone. Who are these people? Who are my people? Where do I fit? Our human software, we're wired to seek connection with people. Before we seek achievement, recognition, success, we seek connection. As people, we want to be seen. We want to be considered. And we search out places where we don't have to explain ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves. We search out places where we feel wanted, where we feel welcomed. And even though we may really enjoy our solitude and just our own company and the company of God, we still need to know at some level that connection is available, that we're not solo in this life, in this world, trying to figure it out all on our own. And it's interesting because our first connection as we enter this human body, enter the world, emerge, is with our mother. We are literally connected to our mother through the umbilical cord. We are one with the mother. And the way the brain works is, for a long time, the baby doesn't even know that it's separate from the mother. It thinks the mother is it, and it is the mother. That's it. There's no separation in the baby's mind. And it's just a part of human development that we begin to see ourselves as separate individuals. At this point, we begin to individuate, and it's an important part for our development. But when we individuate, it creates a longing in us. And that's where it starts. It's like we feel we belong, and then we know we're separate. And right when we know we're separate, it's like, where's mom? Now we have that longing. We know she's separate from us, and we cry out for mother. So this is how we spend our lives. We spend much of our lives trying to recreate that feeling of love and safety and peace that we felt, you know, that intimacy, that connection that we felt when we were first born. We begin our life in union, and then we experience ourselves as separate, and then we spend our lives again seeking that reunion. So it's a psychological journey, and it's also a spiritual journey, and that's life. As we grow, we begin looking outwards for where we belong. We begin looking for our people. And this happens really quickly, you know, as we start identifying our family. We see our siblings and our parents and our aunts and uncles and cousins. And then we go to school, and we have our teachers and our friends. But, you know, at first you think when you're a little kid, oh, I can be friends with everybody. But then you find out, no, I can't be friends with everybody. There's like certain groups where I feel more comfortable, people who like me. You gravitate more towards, you know, like attracts like. So kind people go with the kind people type of thing. We join clubs. we categorize people like that, right? We join political groups. We have neighborhoods. There are all different kinds of categories where we think, oh, do we fit in this category? Do we belong with this group? Where do we belong? And it starts, this starts forming our identity. And we start trying on different identities and different environments to see where we feel comfortable and where we fit in the search for who am I and where do I belong. So we may travel, we may change careers, we end up having children, we start relationships and we lose relationships, and we grow older and our sense of belonging shifts and changes. We may outgrow people. We may outgrow relationships. It's a struggle. And we learn that there's a distinction between fitting in and belonging. Fitting in asks us to change ourselves to gain acceptance, where belonging allows us to become more fully ourselves. So that becomes more important to us. It's not just about, you know, popularity and can people like me. It's about who sees me for who I am. Real belonging doesn't require self-erasure. It doesn't require you to hide your truth to stay in the group. You know, you may be included, but do you feel that you really belong there? So there's a lot of themes in pop culture and in history and in folklore where the story is all about where do I belong and how do I know that this is the place where I belong. And one of those stories is Cinderella. And I think we all know the story of Cinderella, right? But in Cinderella, she's not just looking for her prince. I think that part of the story really gets romanticized. What she's looking for is, where does she belong? Where are her people? Because when we first meet her, she's in a house where she's judged, she's criticized, she's belittled, she's bullied, she's not appreciated. You know, and she's working so hard to try to be appreciated and everything, but we can clearly see, the audience, the reader can see, she doesn't belong there. She deserves so much better. She's like, she's physically in the home with her evil stepmother and stepsisters, but she's not allowed to be accepted there. She's emotionally, she's excluded. So everything about her situation, the people around her are communicating, you're not good enough for us. You're less than us. And this is what bullies do. And they do it because of the ego. They do it to elevate themselves because they feel less than. So when Cinderella goes to the ball, this represents her entry into the larger world. It opens up her world. She gets out of the house for a change. And she can be seen differently by different people. And the glass slipper helps her to recognize what other people have failed to recognize about herself. So the deeper value here isn't that she so much wants to be loved and get married and, you know, live in a palace. It's all about being seen and valued and restored to her rightful place, where she knows there's something out there better for us and this isn't all there is to life. So Cinderella really represents to us the fear of being left in the ashes, of being forgotten, about being devalued. And the hope that all of us have of being seen for who we really are, who we really inside know we are. Okay, there's another story that's been very Disney-fied, right? Like a lot of these folk tales have. The Jungle Book. So what about Mowgli? What's his story? The little boy who's lost in the jungle, he lost his family. This helps us to really question the idea of what is a family. Because Mowgli, clearly in the jungle, he's got a family. And these aren't his family by biology. He doesn't know where they are. These are his family that he's found through loyalty, through joy, through appreciation. And they protect him, and they love him. They're his teachers, his friends, and yeah, his family too. So this story tells us that we can belong to more than one world. Like Mowgli has this animal family, but he knows he's still human. He doesn't forget who he is. He doesn't betray either family. And then also, this points us to the very Indian principle of Sangha, our spiritual community, where at a certain time we want to find our spiritual companions. The Indian spiritual tradition tells us that we need spiritual companionship. We don't have to, we're not alone in this world. We don't have to be alone in this world as we're trying to figure out who we are, because everybody's trying to figure out who we are, and we can support each other in that. This is more than a social group. This is a community that supports our awakening, and we help each other to learn and grow. When we forget who we are, the community helps us to remember. When our faith is weak, we can lean on the faith of others. And when we lose perspective, when we forget who we are, the other people in the community hold up a mirror to us, say, remember who you are. Vedanta says the search for belonging ends where it began. Vedanta takes belonging beyond psychological acceptance. It says that separation itself is not the ultimate truth. That's not the truth. So there's four parts to Vedanta that are very important. And the first says that individual identities are real at the human level, but not, they're not the whole truth. The second thing is that beyond our personality, our history, our nationality, our age, and any circumstances is the same divine self. It's all the same I. It also says that Atman is Brahman, which means soul, the individual soul inside each one of us, is the same as spirit. Soul is spirit. And then it says Tat Tvam Asi. This is a Sanskrit phrase which means that thou art. So in shorthand, it means I am that, you are that, all this is that, and that is all there is. The famous analogy that describes this is the wave in the ocean. We all know that, right? A wave is not separate from the ocean, just like we are not separate from spirit. And another wave is no less than us. We are all the same. All the waves on the ocean are all the same. We're all made up of the same stuff. And the waves don't rely on the approval of anyone else or any other wave. The waves are not asking for permission to be a wave, and they're not asking for permission to be in the ocean. They know that's where they belong. Kabbalah has the same thing. I was looking at this tradition, and Kabbalah teaches that the divine light is present within each creation. Each creation, each person, each animal, each plant, this divine spark is there. And our task is not to decide who belongs, but to recognize that divine spark and accept them for who they are. Accept them and embrace them and invite them in. If we know that I am looking for belonging, then others are too, right? And rather than worrying about myself and where do I belong, it's more like holding the door open and inviting people in and say, yes, come in, join us, join our community. That's what I love about this place so much, is the door is always open and people are always welcome. Yeah, well, you have to stay, but the door is open, okay? We're not holding you hostage. The door stays open. It says that when we do this, when we, through love and compassion and right action, when we do this, we are participating in the healing of the world. So this is really sacred work that we're doing. And it's beautiful. So we're not saying to people suspiciously, a stranger, are you one of us? We're saying, can I recognize the divine light in you? And put it on yourself. Don't make them try to prove something to you. Recognize in them the divine spark. And then you're doing your job. Course in Miracles says the same thing. Course in Miracles says, you know, the ego is what says we're isolated and vulnerable and competing for love. The spirit reminds us that when we remain united with God and with one another, that is where we belong. We're not trying to find our way into God's family. We're awakening to the fact that we never left, that we've always been there, that it's always been within us, and we are where we belong. So in short, all these practices remind us that the spiritual path is not a journey from abandonment or exile to belonging. It's the awakening from the dream or the nightmare of abandonment. It wasn't real. You awakened to the fact that you always belonged, that you were meant to be here. Our human search for belonging is not a mistake. What does it teach us? It teaches us that every friendship reveals something about connection. Every rejection asks us to find a deeper self of worth, our self-worth. Every move we make, wherever we live, any transitions we make from job to job or place to place, reminds us that we can expand our idea of home, of what home is. And every community that we belong to is an opportunity to welcome someone else in. Every person who feels like an outsider helps us to examine where have we drawn our circle too tightly. How can we expand our circle? So we need to ask ourselves these few things. Where do I feel most free to be myself? Where am I trying too hard to fit in? Who in my life may be waiting for a sign that they belong? And how can I make my circle bigger? How can I widen my circle? So this is not only an invitation to find belonging, but it becomes an invitation for us to become a place of belonging ourselves for other people, to be that friend. Okay, so I want to close with a little prayer. So let's close our eyes and just center ourselves. As we travel through life, looking for our place, our purpose, our family, our people, let us remember that relationships matter. They are sacred. And eventually our journey brings us back to where we began. We discover that we are not separate from the mother, from God, from life, or from one another. We belong to the human family. We belong to the earth. We belong to the divine. We belong not because we have been chosen, approved of, or admitted, but simply because we exist. There are no accidental people. There are no extra souls. There's a place for each of us in the whole. And without any one of us, it would not be the whole thing. I belong to God. I belong to life. I belong to the whole. And the whole belongs in me. I am at home wherever love is present. And I bring that love wherever I go. Show me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to know. Give me the seeds I need to sow. And thank you for this chance to grow. And so it is. Om Tat Sat. Amen.